Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com is going to be with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We're talking Titans! Rexroad struck a nerve with people with the 1997 Heisman Trophy race, and we now welcome Paul Kuharsky into the program. PK, happy Wednesday morning to you.
Good morning. Joe got so confused by such simple text, tied up. And so if he actually believes what he's saying, which is a great ratings grabber, as I said, then
so him, that's a crazy opinion?
It's not a crazy opinion that he should have been in the conversation. I think it's a somewhat crazy opinion that he should win it. But you're not kind of admitting the geographic thing. You're how old were you?
Yeah, I was in my 20s.
So you're 20s, probably, you know, in Michigan. You got to kind of give some context here. You're a 20-year-old in Michigan. Of course you wanted Charles Woodson to win. Like, where's that context?
Is that right? That's interesting. Okay. Of course, the Michigan State student wanted Charles Woodson to win. No, that totally makes sense.
He's the second best quarter, one, the first or second best corner of all time, and you say Manning is one of the four best quarterbacks of all time, and we talk all the time about how a quarterback outranks a cornerback, but in this instance, you're saying, like, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer that the cornerback would outrank the quarterback.
I didn't say it was a no-brainer. I said that he deserved to win it. It was an incredible race. It was very close. I said multiple times, neither answer was wrong. The tipping point to me is that, again, the dominance of Woodson exceeded the dominance of Manning to the point where he took a defense. Again, go look at the rest of the defense.
I heard it all. You don't need to repeat it. Everyone heard it.
So, again, they went undefeated. They went undefeated because of him at that position. I agree on the position, but that position, his year that year was so dominant. They went 12-0. Peyton Manning lost 33-20 at Florida. That's going to hurt you in the Heisman race. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Like, it was finally the year they were going to beat Florida, and he didn't do it.
Great. It's pretty well established. People were sick of Peyton Manning at that time, and they were looking for an alternative, and Charles Woodson gave him a great one. But to dismiss that as a factor in the thing, I think is relatively naive.
Okay, fine. It may have been a factor. For you to suggest that someone who thinks Charles Woodson should have won the Heisman 97 is a fake opinion for ratings, I mean, come on, man.
Dude,
I mean, you're just talking at this point.
Can you not take can you not see what's a joke and what's not a joke on there? I mean,
well,
for you to get that stirred up
sarcasm
about
font.
When I'm screwing around with you, it's amazing the power I have over you with the text.
Okay. So it was all a joke.
That part where I said you're making it up to get good ratings. But it's working. I mean, nobody's tuning out now that you're so stirred up by it.
I suppose this is your brand, as the caller just said.
That guy's ridiculous. that guy, does he want nobody holding the Titans' feet to the fire? Does he want nobody asking Isaiah Wilson why he's bad? Does he want nobody asking Kevin Dodd why he can't get it together? Kevin, come here and let me give you a cuddle like the organization's doing.
Asking Vrabel if this is good to great?
Pac-Man, come here. Asking Callahan if this is, you know, the words he put on the wall, is that this team? I mean, if the guy wants if that guy is interested in people who cuddle the Titans, he's got plenty of places to go. We might as well have somebody asking some more difficult things. Contrarian by nature. I mean, I'm contrarian by nature, but when a team sucks, I'm going to ask them about why they suck.
So, by the way, Robbie, we've now gotten into PK and Stilly territory with, I'm the only one who ever asked a question.
I don't think I'm the only one that ever asked a question, but a lot of public comes to me and says, hey, you're the most hard-hitting guy out there, and I'm not going to deny that as the fact. I am the guy who most consistently asks questions. And for Stillman to suggest that is incredible. Stillman has never faced a guy who he says sucks. And you're still talking about Stillman, who's now a small little guy who's on the internet an hour a day. Let's stop pretending like he's setting any agendas. He's not.
Well,
still in Paulie.
There's five minutes down of the hour with PK that Rex Road has stirred up here. So, PK, let's get into the Tennessee Titans, of course. A loss in San Francisco, but as we've discussed the last few days here on the show, the offense appears to be getting better. Now, I'm not going to go overboard with it. They still got plenty of problems. They still miss out on plenty of plays. But Pollard, specifically in the running game, has looked like a different player the last couple of weeks. So let's just start there. Why do you think that's been the case? Why has he been so successful the last couple of weeks? And if he keeps this up for the rest of the year, does it at all change how you view him and running back moving forward if you're the Tennessee Titans?
It does not change how I view Pollard going forward. I mean, it took this long to get him going. That's a lot of it's involved with the offensive line. A lot of it's the teams they played. The Browns played very poor run defense in that game. San Francisco, their defensive front is not their strength. They can't rush the passer, which feeds into that a little bit. I also think while Pollard, particularly against Cleveland, broke free a couple times, you know, some of these runs in San Francisco, while he's getting more than he was getting, somebody truly good would be getting more than he's getting. They need younger legs and more juice there, I absolutely think. Here's the thing I think. They flipped a switch. They got to the right part of the schedule, but they flipped a switch. Skoronski said, like, the week after – no, he said after the Cleveland game. They got sick of hearing what they heard after the Jacksonville game. Like, when I asked, do you guys give a bleep?
Yeah.
And when they were just fielding questions about why can't you run it, why can't you do anything, and the message from Denard Wilson that week about what they needed to do with Myles Garrett and all of that stuff seemingly flipped a switch. Skoronski talked about it. Latham talked about it. Moore talked about it. I don't know why it took so damn long, but all of a sudden, and it's only two games,
yeah,
and I think there'll be some harder challenges ahead. But something flipped in those guys. Like, hey, we got to take this damn game over. That offensive line mentality that you want all of a sudden showed up.
Well, it does beg the question of why it took so long, Joe, right?
Yeah, there is that. So I guess we could get into, like, are Bill Callahan's lessons finally, like, finally sticking with these guys? Or was he the problem? I mean, I'm saying that's not a real opinion. That's a fake opinion. PK, just to clarify
for
you.
Yeah, I mean, these are his disciples teaching his stuff. So
yeah, they still have Olga and Bertha. But on the running back front, so you mentioned younger legs. So what about the other two guys? Are they keepers moving forward? Mullings, you know, we haven't seen much at all. I mean, who knows, I guess. But, you know, Spears, you keep as either your third down back while you try to go get a better primary back. And do you look at it like it probably needs to be a free agency hit as opposed to, or, you know, middle round? People talking about Jeremiah Love, like, I think it would be borderline irresponsible for them to.
I agree entirely.
He's going to go way too high.
I agree.
But
entirely.
How do you address it?
I address it in free agency if I can. I haven't looked in detail at the back. I think Breece Hall's the number one guy. If Breece Hall fits
Devontae
with the new
Williams is out there.
Yeah, if Breece Hall or Williams fits what the new coach wants, I'd go that route, which is what they did with Pollard. You get hopefully 2 years out of that guy, maybe three, and then you're in position to go spend a high draft pick and try to find somebody that's in the, you know, that could be a successor to Earl Campbell, Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry. But right now you don't have that luxury, and you're going to have to fill some things with free agents, and there are some good free agents in the running back thing. They're not long-term solutions. They can do what Pollard has done, perhaps, hopefully better and hopefully a little bit longer. But also, I had this conversation with Braden Gall yesterday. You know, there's this thing where we're loading positions at the front of the draft, right? And now the thing is, because the hot thing has become, just get that guy in the fourth or fifth round. And we've started really stacking up the fourth or fifth round. Well, get a running back in the fourth or fifth round. Get the second corner in the fourth or fifth round. Get another tight end in the fourth or fifth round. Get a defensive lineman in the fourth or fifth round. Maybe get an alternative to Barton in the fourth or fifth round. Well, all of a sudden we got five, six needs in the fourth or fifth round where they're going to have two or three picks. So, again, you know, the list is longer than the actual number of things they have to use as solutions there. Plus, when you're talking fourth or fifth round, the hit rate is way yeah. down. You know, if they find one player in the fourth or fifth round who can solve a problem for them next year, that's pretty good.
We're probably getting diluted a little bit because they've got 3 fourth-rounders right now that have played meaningful snaps on this team.
Yeah, right, which is an exception, you know, and great. And quite frankly, you know, you're hoping maybe they have 4 picks in the first 3 rounds, but yeah. they have 3 at least. You need those to hit and at a better quality play rate, not to take any shots at DK or Helm or Isle Manor, who have been pretty good for the value. But now you need guys to hit pretty well for the value in 1, 2, 3.
I just feel like running back is, we talk all the time about how you're just not, you're going about as well as you can do at tackle in free agency as Mandor. And you're not, you know, there's some of these positions, you're just not getting great players in free agency. But at running back,
you can find guys.
Teams so rarely want to give a second deal to a running back. I think you often, most years, have some guys who can come in, like Pollard did.
Yeah, and you even see some of these guys.
When they got DeMarco Murray, you know, for a fourth rounder or whatever. I mean, like, you can get a good running back still and then not have to devote a pick to it.
Yeah, and you see some of these guys bounce around that you're not particularly impressed by. Swift, you know.
He's good this year.
Yeah, right. And you know, at the beginning of the year, outside of looking at your fantasy chart, would you have remembered where he was?
No, I mean, and he didn't do anything last year running the ball. And then you get the right fit, right players around him, and all of a sudden he looks like a productive guy again.
Or even if, you know, I'm not saying he's the same caliber in Breece Hall, but Josh Jacobs, I just saw, has scored 31 touchdowns in 31 games with the Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharsky with us the rest of the hour. We got a lot on the Titans front to get to. We welcome your questions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us from PaulKuharsky.com. I got some tickets to give away. See the Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. In honor of Kuharsky, we'll go caller 9. Caller 9. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Call 9, we'll win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at Bridgestone Arena. PK, you know, obviously 2 better offensive performances in a row for the Titans. Getting into the 20s around here is a big deal. Cam Ward, I didn't think was especially good against the Browns. Made a couple of nice throws in the red zone. You know, some good plays by him in this game. Also a couple of misses that seems like he makes every week where you walk away and you say, yeah, you need your starting NFL quarterback to be able to hit those throws. So on the whole, right now, are you seeing any meaningful progress from Cam Ward in your mind? How do you feel about where he is as we are now heading into the 15th game of the season for him?
Yeah, I think there's definitely meaningful progress. I mean, he's had 2 games in a row with 2 touchdown throws. We weren't seeing anything like that. You know, we're seeing some runaround plays. The touchdown to Simmons was good. Made a great throw. Broke free to make a great throw to DK, which is flat-out drop.
Yep.
Horrific. You know, but and the throw to Gunnar Helm's a good throw for a touchdown catch, and that is outside. Outside the numbers, there are some issues for sure. The throw for Van Jefferson should be a touchdown right before the half. That makes it a 17-17 game and changes the complexion of things at least for a little while. And instead, they end up trying a 50-yard field goal and missing at 17-10. And then the defense, you know, which didn't do anything all day, gives up the easiest drive of the day, 4 plays, and things start to get out of hand. But that's a defensive loss. I mean, they didn't stop San Francisco ever. There was 1 turnover there, and they scored on every other drive of the game. The punter didn't take the field to punt. So I thought offensively, you know, they ran for the second game in a row. Offensive line was better. San Francisco doesn't have a good pass rush, and the Titans didn't let them pass rush. So if you can't see incremental gains there and you want to just focus on Cam missing the deep throw and Cam's problems outside the numbers and all of that, that's fine. Again, we said, I think most of us were in agreement, this story was going to be about Cam Ward's progress over the course of the season. And there's progress. It just hasn't come with the number of wins that we suspected, 4, 5, 6. And that's a disappointment. But now, you know, they're in better draft position for it. And I think the arrow is up on Ward with tons of work to do on the mechanical stuff, on those outside throws. He's never going to be great at those outside throws, probably. Needs to be better at them, and then they need to scheme better to give him more of the throws that he's better at.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think anybody focusing on either, which we see a lot of in this discussion, there's some people that just want to look at these. Look, I can put this highlight tape together. Look at what this guy's going to be incredible. And then some people are like, I mean, look at the numbers or look at these terrible throws. But I am concerned, PK, about the miss, the Jefferson, another example. Like you said, the accuracy outside the numbers seems to be, it's like, is it outside the numbers? Some people talking about, you know, downfield, like deep. I mean, to me, he has made some terrific downfield throws, but it seems like that area is more the issue. But also, he's missed some stuff over the middle of the field, too, that you can't miss. I mean, I guess that's just my thing is, and we don't know the answer, but how much can he improve it? How much can it be improved realistically by an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, his accuracy is not going to be a strength. But I was looking the other day, you know, some of the completion percentages for guys like Bo Nix, for example. You know, I was guessing at some of these completion percentages and then calling them up. And completion percentages for some of the quarterbacks that you would expect to be up are not fantastic. And his completion percentage has gone up. It's never going to be a strength. But if he's a guy that completes, say, 66% of his passes and makes the most of those 66% of his passes, can he be a quality quarterback in the league? I think, sure. And so, but to me, again, you know, I know it gets repetitive. Who's the coach and how good are they at affecting change with him? I think you got to get somebody in here who gains his respect and his trust, who alters things, who communicates well with his private quarterback coach for while he's away from the building, get some real work done on that stuff. They liked Carson Palmer with Will Levis. They need to get to that place with his guy and do a lot of work in the offseason on the mechanical stuff. I wrote, you know, weeks ago that the real makeover in those departments can't come until the offseason. And then, you know, those things can have a bearing on those throws to a degree. And then you have to play to his strengths. And you got to give him more talent. Look, you know, drops are built into everybody's completion percentage.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence has had a ton of drops this year, and he's doing fine. But some of the drops are just killer for this team. And Van Jefferson works his ass off, but he has not given them what they needed, which was a steady possession guy. They've got to add at least two people to that room who are going to be reliable receivers for him, and one of them needs to be an explosive guy who could take the top off the defense.
Well, I feel like one of them needs to be that guy, and you're probably not finding that guy in free agency. So I think the other one needs to be a veteran, because right now I'm looking at it, you've got, I think we're assuming Ridley's gone, right?
Yeah.
So you've got Io Manor, DK, whoever you draft. Like, I think you
the
need
the draft guy needs to be the number one guy.
Yeah, exactly. But I think
and
you also need a
you need
a
Alec
a free
Pierce
agent.
Or yeah. Romeo Doubs are the two names that leap out to me.
I agree, and I think that's got to be a priority. So Yeah, like I think there's still a lot of work to be done on the receiving front here. We were talking about this Monday. You know, the thing that I think he clearly does really well, and you saw it on the Simmons touchdown, we've seen it throughout the year. Like, his ability to escape and extend is really good. And you can't live and die by that in the NFL. You got to be able to throw it from the pocket. But I think we've seen enough of a sample size at this point to realize that Ward is going to be pretty good when he can break a play out like that.
Yeah, and he's got to become a little bit more natural at taking off.
Yes.
Also. It feels like it's one or the other. I don't know that he's found the balance of both, right?
Yeah.
So let's say there's a game where he scrambles like that four times and he runs four times. So there's eight plays there that are probably going to wind up being difference-making plays in terms of drive extenders. And if you could have eight plays that are drive extenders that are kind of off script, that's a real bonus.
So just to go back on, really, are you 100% he's gone? Like, there's no chance that there would be any consideration that he could still be some sort of a factor here, or that there's any value in having him here?
I mean, I think there could be value in having him here depending on what else goes on in the market. But are you going to keep him at the beginning of free agency until you see what happens? I mean, generally you'd like to give a guy his opportunity to get on the market and go do what he does. But you're conducting a business, and I wouldn't have a problem with them holding on to him until that first wave of free agency comes out and securing Pierce before you let him go. I don't know I don't know if there are guarantees in his contract that you need to get out of on the first day of the league year or anything like that. I haven't looked that closely at the money. But I think Calvin Ridley also hasn't been as reliable as they need him to be.
No.
And I think as you're setting up to have a more reliable wide receiving core, it's a bigger move to let him go than just moving to the next guy. It's a part of a philosophical changeover. So to me, it would be the move to make.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Coming up next, more of your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us here on the program. Taking your questions as well at 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I just want to say, hey, I think by Patrick Mahomes being out, I think we have a good chance of winning this game over 50%, because if the quarterback that they have haven't even sniffed the turf, I think we have a decent enough chance to pull this one out. And I'm going to say this. Cam Ward needs to start showing the fans, the organization, the media pundits what he can do this week. Patrick Mahomes is out. This is our chance to get a win, you know. And as far as getting rid of Calvin Ridley, I think we should get rid of Calvin Ridley, pay him out, you know, start off fresh in a Cuban, find a stud. Wide receiver two, veteran. Not somebody that's coming off an injury, not somebody that, you know, have less than 1,000 yards a season. We need a stud number two, and it's not Calvin Ridley. We need to get a receiver in the draft, second round, a stud draft pick, to where we can mold them into what we need as far as somebody that's going to be compliant and comparable to Cam. That's what we need. I know we need an edge rusher, but right now we need some wide receivers, and I love y'all. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate
it. It's hard to just go into the free agency market and find what you're describing. I mean, you're hopeful, but, you know, last time the receiver they found was Calvin Ridley.
Yep.
So, you know, there's only so much to choose from out there.
Which was pretty good in the moment. It's like that's a talent infusion,
right? But he's out there in part because he had a gambling history, and he was a little bit of a pain in the ass for the teams that had him before. Anybody you're going to be able to get in free agency, somebody's judging not to be worth keeping.
Yeah,
because they have financial problems or have judged to be not somebody worth keeping. So there's that. You're not getting an absolute gem in free agency, generally speaking.
So if they successfully draft wide receiver one, who's a better of the two? You guys earlier, Robbie mentioned Dobbs. You mentioned Dobbs. You mentioned Pierce, which is interesting. Who would be better as a wide receiver two? Are both of those guys legit wide receiver two?
I think Pierce is more attractive. Robbie knows more about Dobbs.
Well, it depends on what you want. Pierce is the better downfield guy. So, I mean, it's not close. Dobbs is not a downfield guy. Dobbs is a great route runner, and he's really good in the red zone. So what do you want? Like, what is your wide receiver one? Like, let's say it's Carnell Tate. What does he do well? He can do it all well, but he can go deep. He can catch the ball. Like, so how do you want to complement whoever your wide receiver one would be? I think Pierce and Dobbs are very, very different in terms of their style.
And then if you're looking at the draft, I mean, I think Jordan Tyson is – I'm with TD. I don't love West Coast receivers and the kind of toughness thing. Malachi Lemon from USC is another West Coast guy. He's 5'11", 195. Yep. He's explosive. But I'd like bigger, obviously. Jordan Tyson's the guy I'm talking about as a West Coast guy. So you're getting more. Carnell Tate would be probably top 10. So, you know, if you're waiting till later, you're talking more about maybe the Tennessee kid, who you guys have watched more closely than I.
Brazel, yep.
Who's intriguing. Or you know, this list I'm looking at is including tight ends. Concepcion,
yep.
Who I'm intrigued by.
Okay, I got a couple questions. Well, first of all, it's Mekhi Lemon, not Malachi. Okay. So I will tell you right now, I would take Mekhi Lemon all day long as my slot receiver for the next 10 years. He's going to be tremendous. But what you said TD with West Coast, what's the lack of toughness?
He thinks they're generally softer than guys, and they don't have as much dog in them. I know it's a big generalization, and I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Because Amon-Ra St. Brown's got about as much dog in him as anybody in the league.
Right. There are going to be some exceptions to it, but broadly. And I think he's putting, again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, Jordan Tyson in that yep. basket.
Speaking of wide receivers, can we eliminate the reverse/jet sweep to Jim DK from the playbook?
I wrote about that today.
Holy smokes. Is that the last time we've seen it?
Why do they keep running these fly motions, end arounds, and jet sweeps with him? Why do they keep throwing these screens to him? I mean, Nick Holt said that some of them are out of obligation that you run these motions that buy some attention. Once in a while, you have to give the guy the ball on that to make it believable. And the screens, some of them are screens, some of them are these run solutions. The perimeter blocking is the bigger issue. But who do you trust to get their hands on the ball to have a chance to do anything with it? I think Spears is number one, and because you're counting on the tight ends to block, DK is number two. But it looks like a team that is smashing its head against the wall with plays that do not work.
Have they gained a yard on it all year?
I have the numbers in my story. I can call them up for you here. It's bad. DK's taken 10 handoffs for 11 yards. He's caught 10 screens for 38 yards. And on these run checks to quick throws, he's caught 4 passes for 13 yards.
Not very good.
And I could give you more here. In the he had, in the runs, 3 rushes for 18 yards in the first 2 games. Since then, 7 carries for minus 7 yards.
No, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to show it. I understand the philosophy. I mean, if you always show it and you never give the ball, then
know, at some point they're just going to ignore it. But also, man, but what a costly I mean, it just like, every time there's someone who completely blows a block, though, right? That's what it looks like.
Chig blew a big block on the screen. But look, you're at the 5-yard line. You have first and goal from the 5. And then you have second and goal from the 12.
Yeah.
That blew that drive.
Yep.
It turned it into a field goal.
Totally.
I hate that ever in the red, in the low red zone.
And they run it in the first two series pretty much every game. It feels like. It's just a killer.
What did you make of Arden Key after the game, talking about how the defensive staff doesn't make any adjustments, I guess, and then Denard's Wilson response, which we played earlier in the show to that, did not seem like Denard Wilson was a big fan of the comments from Arden Key.
Yeah, I mean, I think Arden Key's frustrated, and he's going to be the guy that talks, but how much is he allowed to be vocally frustrated versus how much is he contributing to the things to be frustrated about, I think is a fair question, you know. But look, it's such a crappy season. I think somebody should be saying something about something. I don't know if his is the most logical thing, but let's, you know, everybody can't be in there just saying, yeah, la-di-da, no. You know, this is
just... Well, it just seems to be his go-to. It's like the third time he said something like that. When you think back to, you know, when Callahan first got in there, it was like Vrabel and Bowen, they never made any corrections. It's like, really, huh? They never made any corrections at all.
Yeah, that is.
It feels like his go-to.
I haven't thought of that. You're dead on there.
I mean, you've held him hostage before and forced him to say things in front of a camera. Like, maybe you can talk to him, PK, because, yeah, it just seems like he's just kind of throwing stuff out there.
He's not super available in the locker room this year, I will say.
Is he hiding from you?
I don't know.
Specifically?
I would like to talk to him delve into some of this.
He has put it on the record that he loves PaulKuharsky.com.
That's right.
Paul Kuharsky. It's a great site.
It's a good site, man.
Faithful subscriber.
It's a good site, especially if you spell it right. That's my little poem.
Poem with an E. Not
poem.
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 Poem, as some in the South like
poem.
To say. Poem.
Yeah. Good grief. Good grief.
We do have questions for PK on the text line. We should throw it real quick. LD from McMinnville has asked before. Wants to ask again, can Helm become this modern version of the Titans' Frank Wycheck? So those are big shoes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different league now. Look, you're only going to get so much blocking out of your best tight end, particularly if he's going to catch the ball a lot. They have started to target him more. He's a willing blocker. You know, I think he's going to be a primary player for them. All of these things about the standing of players comes down to this, which sucks, right? But how does a new coach like him?
Yeah.
You know? So Josh Wiley wasn't a good player, right? But Vrabel liked something about him. Callahan's staff comes in, they don't like him at all. So he falls by the wayside. There are going to be guys like this on the new team. I'm not saying – I think Gunnar Helm is above the line. Like, there are certain guys you like no matter what. But there's a second tier of guys below that line who could or could not be players for the new coach that he likes. And it just – how does he strike them? What does he like about his game? What doesn't he like about his game? What does he like about his personality? What doesn't he like about his personality? And he comes into OTAs like with a little bit of an arrow up or an arrow down, and then what does he do from there? And that's how new regimes work.
No, I totally agree. Go ahead.
Another quick one here. Can you talk a little bit on the cap? Oh, a talk about question. Can you talk a little bit about the cap space? How much could be spent on signing free agents like Breece Hall / Debo Samuel, et cetera, to avoid using picks? How much should stay in reserve for extensions, rookies, et cetera? Do you have all the numbers broken down?
I can tell you the Titans have the most cap space in the league based on overthecap.com right now.
I wouldn't be looking at Debo Samuel.
No, I wouldn't either.
He's
Well, he's giving him as an example.
Yeah. they have a lot of money to spend, and they don't have a lot of guys to extend. I mean, you're looking at Simmons, who will be expensive, but the first year of the cap for a new contract can cost as much or as little as you want based on the way you structure it. And I think you start thinking about Skoronski. Outside of that, who do they have to extend?
The list is not long. I mean, Titans, according to overthecap.com, have $108 million, almost $109 in cap space. So they're going to be able to make a lot of moves if they want to.
They need to do stuff. With that.
Yeah.
They need to do stuff.
And that's on a predicted cap. That probably goes up because the cap will probably be bigger than they're predicting.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program. PK, could we see the strep be caught again this week for the Tennessee Titans? Could Xavier Restrepo be back in the lineup?
I think it's possible he returns to practice this week. If you look, he got hurt end of November, very beginning of December. They would have put him on practice squad IR if they thought he'd be out 4 weeks. So that means they anticipated him being back either this week or next week. So I'd say 50-50 that he practices this week.
How have we not been talking about him when we talk about the future of this receiving core?
You got to put him on
big
the list.
Whiff.
I mean, the number 7 receiver heading into camp next year. It's excitement.
Got a chance to work his way up.
When you're talking about adding explosive receivers, you've got to include him there.
You do.
Please,
great chemistry with Cam.
Please note the sarcasm that I am speaking with.
Rick Schultz has a hard time with that sometimes.
Is that a real opinion or is that a fake opinion?
It's real. I'm not drumming
who
up.
Who knows?
I mean, the ratings will come.
Robbie and I do real opinions. That's what we do on this show. We do real opinions.
I know.
So you have your brand, your fake opinion brand. So
this is so funny.
Good luck with that.
Around. I accused you of faking something, and somehow you turned that on me.
On you, yeah.
Well, yes, because, again, it's like when someone assumes someone is doing something unethical, then I'm like, oh, you must be an unethical person then. if you assume that people do these things. Like, we have an honest show here. We value that. We've always thought that you were part of our honest show,
Paul. I am a part of your honest show, Chief.
It's good to know.
Okay.
Good to know.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
He turns things around.
He does.
We need some holiday affirmation
out there.
I deal with a little bit of vertigo periodically, and then Joe's just not helping.
No.
But I don't help his gout, I guess it's tip
vertigo, gout. We got a lot of problems on this show.
Yeah, we're getting old.
A lot of problems on this show.
My foot is throbbing right now.
I have dyslexia.
PK, we have not had much negative to say about Jeffrey Simmons this year. Is it time to take him off the field goal block team? We need to go ahead and take him off field goal?
Well, Bones Fossil has a very good way of explaining everything, and he said that Simmons is doing exactly what he coaches. Now, teams are doing this thing where the guard leans a certain way and the center leans his head into the A-gap. And so if a defensive tackle is rushing that A-gap, teams are trying to take advantage of getting called for that penalty. Now, Simmons is getting called for it. He says other defensive tackles around the league are getting called for it. I don't see defensive tackles getting called for hitting Morgan Cox in the head.
No.
So, they got to find a counter move to it now. But it's certainly when you're giving a team a new set of downs instead of having them settle for a field goal, it's not advantageous for the Titans. And the way Jeff reacts to it is kind of weird. Like, if you hit him in the head, it's a penalty. Like, you can't – I don't know what he's arguing and the counter, like, hey, they got me by him leaning his head, you know?
Yeah, why can't the Titans find someone to do that?
Yeah,
exactly.
The other way.
That's what they should be trying it. And apparently it's succeeding around the league.
Guess so. I mean, Trey brought up the Chiefs game earlier. I will say, I'm interested to see how the Kansas City Chiefs look this week for a team that has, perennially been in the Super Bowl, since Mahomes has set foot in there, they've just basically been at minimum in the AFC Championship game. And now that they're officially eliminated from the playoffs, he's out. You got Gardner Minshew playing. I'm very fascinated to see the level of give a darn that Kansas City's going to have in this game.
They could well be very deflated. But Gardner Minshew's had some success against the Titans before, and the Titans have a long history of losing to second-tier quarterbacks, and he's on that list. They've beaten him as well. But it will be interesting to see. It's funny because the Titans sold one game as premium this year, and this was it, and it's very much not premium. I was confused by the national lament, particularly by the TV networks, like at the Chiefs being out of it. Like, we're supposed to be mourning this, and I think much of America has had Chiefs fatigue and is happy not to see them in there. What's wrong, networks, with us seeing something new happen in the AFC?
Well, I've seen some people float the idea out there. It's like, well, this will probably, like, you know, the Chiefs aren't going to be in. Joe Burrow's not going to be in the playoffs. You know, we'll see if Lamar can figure it out. Like, this is going to be, like, the least watched NFL postseason in a long time. I'm like, have we not learned anything about the NFL? Like, people are going to watch the NFL playoffs. Yeah. I promise you.
And someone new will emerge. It'll be terrific.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dumb conversation around the Chiefs' struggles, including like the dynasty being done thing. I mean, that's stupid. Again, Brady and Belichick went a decade. I mean, I guess maybe people were saying it then. I don't remember. They were always good. They're, you know, Patrick Mahomes. We'll hear from him again. You know, another thing to remember, guys, on the Chiefs. Not to be a total apologist, but in the last 6 years, they played 19 extra games because of deep runs. So they played more than a full season extra of football in this run that they've been on, which you would think there'd be a little wear and tear on
that. Yeah, they need to rest and reset. They'll have a better draft pick here, but they have some replacing to do. Like Travis Kelce is done, and it's time to find – and they never sufficiently replaced Tyreek Hill. It's time for them to re-weaponize, and this is a good – offseason for them to try to do that.
Lenny says no way the Chiefs lay down for the Titans. A lot of pride on that team. They're going to smoke the Titans. We'll see. Chiefs haven't really smoked anybody. Look, so we'll see what happens.
I mean, it's Minshew pretty magic. Easy pick to pick the Titans to lose.
Yeah, I mean,
if you look at what they've done this year.
I mean, that does check
really
out.
Really going out on a limb there. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
Next man up with Jake Lyman and Corey Curtis is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.